Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 205 of the Rust Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salahurin Altahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
And who's the best GM? Who's the best GM who brings you all nice things, lets you rest, lets you stock up, you know, have a conversation? Who is that?
Has the fluff side of AO3 taken over the GM slot?
Well, I was going to say, I think I did some decent GMing recently, so I think it might be me.
Yeah, I was going to say
Lydia. I'm really enjoying the game Lydia's running.
Yeah. No,
the non-recorded one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't tell the fans about that. We have fun that's not recorded.
Not everything I'll is content.
I'll have you know I do no such thing. How dare you? Every aspect of my life remains a commodity for others' benefit, and I'll hear nothing against it. So, as we are all now back in The One That Got Away, we've opened all of our prezzies and have been doing that thing where you kind of faff around with them on Christmas Day, you know, have a look at it in the mirror, test it out a little bit, maybe if it's a go-kart, drive it around the table a few times, that kind of thing.
Hammond's going to use his magical garment sleeves to create, like, pop open panels in the back of his clothing so the wings won't ruin any actual material when they come out in future.
Ah, that's a good point. Because, yes, let's not forget, in the standard Christmas way, you know, large scaled wings popped out of your back, you know, the standard Christmas morning response.
It happens to me all the time, yeah, yeah.
Azu is definitely wearing the armour, like, I mean, you wear a Christmas jumper when you get it, so, yeah, just got that on.
Just don't sneeze and activate it.
Hammond just looks significantly more scaly and dragony now. This is more or less his final form.
Oh, dang.
Oh, like, so many memes have just been shut down.
You'll get through it.
Mate, there are nine
Hammond's
more levels.
Very likely to survive whatever is going to happen.
You don't know the mathematical odds there. Don't throw words around like likely.
With Scrark's new con bonus, Hammond definitely has the fewest hit points in the party now.
I will clue listeners into, I have heard the party quietly discussing amongst themselves, they now have combos, actual goddamn combos, so I am going to up my game something fierce against this bloody teamwork that's starting to rear its ugly head in our midst. And none of that. Anyway, with the continued, I call it in downtime in inverted commas, I'm going to get a little bit mucky with time in that I don't have a need to be like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, anything like that. So I'm going to go a little bit muckier with it. To pick up where we left off, though, with a couple of bits of info, there was a package left for Summit Neil, but Summit Neil did not turn up to breakfast.
Oh.
Beyond that, I would say that you, at some point during breakfast, will get an update. Like, Ada will poke her head in and just say that things are going really well with the kill switch. They've already begun the deconstruction process. They found out what was causing the issues at Svalbard, and it's not going to be a problem here. By all accounts, it seems to be going very, very well. Though she's asked everyone to be quite a bit nice to Tesla, because he did a Tesla standard, which is immediately pull an all-nighter with no regards to the next morning. So he's probably going to end up resting for the majority of the day, but by all accounts they're very confident they're going to crack it any moment now.
Okay,
well, thank you for the update, and thank you for the equipment as well.
Yes.
What equipment?
What?
It looks nice on you.
Azu poses.
I like it. It's
new equipment.
It's that was probably Augusta, you know, is her job, make sure that we don't lack anything.
Where's Summit Neil?
I don't know.
Should we check on her?
Yeah.
It's fine, Lovelace. Thank you. Do what you need to do. We can deal with the other stuff.
Cool. Great. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna get back to it.
Yeah.
I'd ask everyone to just keep the volume down a little bit, because we don't want to. Basically, we don't want to disturb Tesla while he's having a rest. Nicola's been pushing himself a bit hard again.
Yeah.
She just gives a sort of double thumbs up and a rare, less nervous grin, being like,
aww.
Good news. Good news is good. I like good news. And then just kind of rushes off back down to the labs.
Aww. She's nice.
Right, who's going to go find some McNeil then?
I'm happy to.
I mean, I feel particularly, even more than usual, capable of noticing things. So I am up for that challenge. Let's go find a bear.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'll come with you.
Yeah, taking the gift as well, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know where Summit Neil's room is. Like that, you've all been here before. It's.
I know so many things. More things than any creature that has ever lived.
In that case, then, can I get a perception check, please, from Sal?
23.
23. Okay, cool. You think that Summit Neil is in their room.
Mm-hmm.
There is maybe the quiet sounds of movement, things like that. There's someone in that room. There's nothing particularly beyond that that's really worth discerning. You're not hearing like mad. They called me mad or anything like that. It's just someone is in a room being quiet. You know,
not two people in the room.
No. You know what you would hear? They sound like they're writing.
Oh, okay. Mm. Knock on door.
Yeah.
What?
Summit Neil, just to say, so exciting news, we all got presents. I don't know if you celebrate any festivals or anniversaries which involve presents, but I mean, I hope you do, because it is whatever day that is for you. You have a present. They've all been very good so far. Mine involves noticing things. And somehow also my bombs.
Also, are you all right?
Yes. Oh, yes, that.
I'm fine. That's very kind.
You hear the sound of sort of shuffling, someone putting a chair back and then coming over, and then the door opens a crack, revealing Summit Neil. She looks like she hasn't slept particularly well.
Oh.
She just looks a little bit, like, wearied. She sort of sees the package. Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Well, it wasn't us that got it, but we... Do you want to open it with us? We can tell you about our presents, and it's... Oh, you can tell us about yours, or... Would you not like that?
You all valued friends, but solitude is not always a punishment.
No, I get that. I understand a lot of things right now. It's actually a bit confusing and distracting knowing so many things. But yes,
I would ask your patience. I just
sure
for a
all
while.
Right.
Of course, and we don't want to crowd you. We have a lot to talk about, and we'll get on with the discussions. There's certainly points at which your expertise would be very much appreciated, but there's no rush if you'd be able to join us at any time later today.
I understand this, that's fine.
Your perspective on some things would be really valuable. So sorry to crowd you.
Yeah. It's fine. Everyone who's there, give me a sense motive.
Oh, natural 20.
Nice.
25 total.
18.
Somebody else says the following, and then I'll give you sort of an additional for those insight checks. Somebody else just like, being here is merely a struggle. I will prevail, but I ask only to be left until I am needed. On the sense motives, I think Hamid's the one who probably would get the read on this one. Struggle seems to be an understatement. You don't think that there's like a magical otherworldly thing that's sapping the life out of her or anything, but you think that Summit Neil being here in this place with this person, etc., etc., has probably taken Summit Neil beyond her limits,
yeah.
And that she's been relying more on discipline than she has on actual like strength, let's say. Mm-hmm. This is someone who's been pushed too far. And is handling it very well, but it's they're not under an external influence. They just really probably need to be left alone because it is taking a psychological strain on them.
Yeah.
Well, take care of yourself, and we're here if you need anything.
Of course.
We care about and respect you, Samuel, and I really hope you're not blaming yourself for anything or feeling in any way.
You are all amongst the greatest people I've ever known.
Oh.
And I consider myself privileged to have spent this time with you.
Oh, shucks.
Well, you too.
Though I do ask that I might...
Yeah, well, no. Well,
retire.
Yeah, well,
for now.
Yes, of course. That's
Summit Neil just gently starts to close the door in a just leave me alone kind of way.
Yeah. Azu backs off.
Eventually, you hear the sounds of someone sitting down and starting to write again.
Oh.
Yeah, I head back to the parlour.
That actually, that does remind me, I should get... I definitely have some things I should say to people that aren't here, but I don't know who would take a message if we don't come back, because if we don't come back, what is there to come back to? I think
Einstein might be able to deliver them to somewhere.
That's true. Thank you, Hamid. That is
possibly
a great point. I am going to go and write some, you know, just in case, because, you know, maybe I'll just be so distracted by the celebrations when we all get out safely and alive.
Yes.
Good idea. Yeah. I might have to write a letter at some point as well.
Sales links back. Do you know where we can get some paper?
Well, there seemed to be a lot around for the report writing, so probably there's more in, you know, there's probably a stationery cupboard somewhere.
That is true. Under the printer, the stack that's under there, under all of the little stamps that you use to print things. Yes. Mm-hmm. The water paper, yes.
Yeah.
Also, you know, sometimes it's helpful to write things down even if you don't send things.
Don't expect to die in a fight with a giant plant. Whatever. Let's all be happy. Yes. Sel goes off to get some paper.
Azu is going to look at Sel very seriously and just be like, I'm going to do my best to make sure that none of us die.
I appreciate that, Azu, I really do. And I think that we all actually have a pretty good shot at this.
So do I. I think we will prevail. And if we don't, then it was worth it anyway.
I agree. It has been wonderful getting to know you. And I really look forward to all of the dinner parties and the holidays that will go on afterwards. Just, I know that if things don't go great, I don't want to leave any threads.
Of course. And yes, as you said, it's been such a pleasure getting to know you, Sel, and I'm so glad you decided to come with us. We couldn't have done this without you, but it's, even if not for that, it's just been really nice getting to work with you in any way.
I see you're, you know, it's I see you like the wing thing I had going on. Have I told you?
Yes.
I actually brewed a potion that I was really loving the flame breath thing. So I tried to whip up something that would do something similar, but somehow it came out sparkly and electric. I haven't used it yet.
Oh, that's so
cool.
I'm
so admiring
your work. I've
actually
been experimenting with new spells, and I think I have one that plays with electricity too. Because
really?
Everything up to now has been fire, but it seems like electricity
this
can be really
great.
This
sounds like combo talk to me. Filthy, filthy teamwork. Less of that. I see what you're sneaking into my game.
Little chat probably goes on for a while.
Yeah, it does.
There's
a
reason that I dive in at that point.
It's not like there's a rush,
Hamid finds lots of ways to compliment Sel on how badass they are.
And Sel finds lots of ways to compliment Hamid.
So did I hear that Sel wanted to go write some letters for a little while?
Yes.
Can I get a hint as to who these might be to?
They're addressed, like literally they say the names on the top. So there's Aiko and Enna, Sel's stepsons, Yuko's boys, and one to James Barnes. Because they had a thing. And they were actually getting on very well. They write about, you know, we're going to make that boat. Or, you know, if I'm not here, then I suppose you can make the boat. It's written very much in the way that Sel talks.
Well, given Sel's perfect recall, it'd be some of the lines of, we'll work on that boat /dock/cottage. Because he never managed to pin it down.
It's not that Sel has a bad memory, it's that... I mean, the way memory works is you're constantly...
No,
like,
I just mean that Barnes had no idea what he wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. So it will be like, you know, an embellishment with lots of... And there might even be, you know, if I don't make it back, these are the measurements and the materials that you should use that I think would actually get you the effect and the, like, the kind of functionality that you've been looking
for. I've taken the liberty of providing schematics, item list.
That is Sel's love language.
Aww. There is a small tap at Sel's door.
Hello? Yes, it's not locked. I don't even think it has a lock.
Can I?
Hi.
Hey, do you have a moment?
Sure, it's great. Come in. You wanna sit down? What's up? How can I help?
I have a favour.
Sure.
It's a bit awkward.
I mean, anything I can do, I'll try. I mean,
Skrok takes a moment and seems to be sort of like assembling a thought.
Whatever happens next is going to be big.
Yeah.
I want to make sure if I don't come out the other side, someone goes in and checks on the rest of the gang on the Vengeance where we left them.
I think that makes sense.
Can I ask that? Of you, Sel, please. I know it's a lot.
Skark, I will absolutely... If I get out and you don't... I mean, firstly, something has gone terribly wrong because I really hope that we all make it out.
But you never know how these things are going to go, I guess. So, I mean, I'd like to say that I wouldn't let it, you know, I'd let myself get taken first. But you never know, actually, how these things work out. That may not be the optimal battle play. And what matters is that we save the world, not that we come out feeling like we're perfect heroes. Anyway,
I just mean, I know that if you were trapped on a desert island with just a rock,
yeah,
you'd use it to make an airship and still go find them. And that's something I can trust in. So can I ask that of you?
Sel's eyes are going... You know when people's eyes go off into the corner when they're doing a complicated maths problem? Like, because Sel is distracted by the idea of how one would make an airship out of a rock. But fortunately, they swing back into focus as Skrark is continuing and ends the thought. Skrark, I care so much about the people that we left behind. This isn't... I'm not going to promise you that I'm going to go check on them, because that is something that if I have the opportunity and if I am walking and breathing, I am going to do for myself. But I will also tell everyone there how much it was important to you to get back to them. And I will talk about what you did in Svalbard and how brave you are, always being the one to check through those doors and seeing. And
I mean, that's not bravery, you know. Azu's amazing at hitting stuff, but she does clank.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, yes.
I mean, it's like picking a fight with a cutlery drawer. It just...
A very wonderful cutlery drawer, yes. I will tell them what you did, and I will tell them that you missed them, and I will tell them how much you wish you could be there.
Thanks.
Will you do the same for me?
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
Cool. I have these letters. I'm gonna leave them here because I think that the man that can teleport could possibly take them if things go very weird and wrong and none of us make it out, I guess. But I would like you to know where they are and to take them if you go.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No worries. Well, I didn't want to keep your time.
No, Scott.
You do your letters and I'll...
Do you... Sel's gonna bend down and hold their arms out for a hug.
Skrark looks around to check that the door's closed. The door is closed. Skrark gives a quick hug with Sel.
So once the quick hug has started, like, Sel will squeeze Skrark tight. But, you know, not holding them long, because if Skrark only wants a quick hug, then, you know, that's...
You get a little sort of, like, pat on the shoulder from a tail.
Nice.
I
think Sel would hope it turns into a long hug, but if Skrark shows any signs of wanting to go, then I'm gonna hold them. But yeah.
I mean, I like to think that Skrark loses track of time, but nonetheless then ends it as if it was a quick hug.
Cool.
Regardless of how long the hug was.
And that's heartbreaking. That's the like squeeze the moment and then the like what? This is possibly too much detail about the hug.
The labs, because, you know, it's a mess down there.
And Skrark sort of closes the door and you hear the sort of tap-tap of claws heading off down the corridor. With that, I'm in a peculiar limbo, because on the one hand, there's enormous discussions to be had about, you know, Babbage and Bat. Why did I give two characters names that begin with Bat?
You didn't name Barrett. I did. You shouldn't have allowed that.
Yeah, well, either way, we've got a lot to talk about, so I've got to sort of hand the helm over to others and be like, what do people want to talk about next? You've got time, and I never know what to do when you've got time. Okay, we're going to take a break
while we all sit here and
think about what we're going to do. And then we'll come back.
You have a break and have a think about what you've done.
I can't keep fueling this story train with explosions. I have to use other fuel sometimes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. So, unless someone has an idea for a scene they want to do, there will be an explosion, and I'm just gonna make it work, okay? And something or someone is just going to explode. Tough.
Zelda doesn't have a problem with that.
In the interest of avoiding explosions, I think Azu's going to get out, go and talk. I'm so sorry for Sel.
No, that's cool. I like the idea of, like, they've kind of secluded themselves away to have some, like, deep thinky. It's not really woe is me. It's like, oh, emotions, let's process them. And then it's just like, ah, but there are friends. You know, that's how life works, you know?
Hi, Sel. I hear that you're carrying other people's baggage. I just want to...
It's a sharing of baggage. We are all in a lovely baggage train together, carrying each other's stuff. And the burden Barrett feels baggage. Less for
I'm
the
I'm more familiar with circling the caravans. This is a new thing for me.
All right. I see.
Well, Azu's going to knock on the door anyway.
Cool. Anyway, yes. Hi. Hello? Yes?
Hello. It's me. Just me. Hello.
Hello, friend. Yeah, sure. Come on, little buddy. I mean, taller than me. I suppose,
but... I'm a big buddy.
Yeah.
All right. She comes in. And then she suddenly looks like she doesn't really know, like, she suddenly looks uncertain.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yes, I'm okay.
Oh, good.
I wanted to talk to you about Barrett.
I mean, I have very few conversations with him.
Oh, no, like, so Zolf's going to kill him.
Oh, yes, he says that.
Yes, he does.
That worries, when, I mean, I'm not, if I'm honest, okay with that. I had thought that there might be some opportunity to change his perspective or maybe, you know, move him away from Barrett.
But I don't know if he's wrong, like...
Well, what's his justification, right? Barrett's evil?
Essentially, yes, and will continue to be terrible.
Lots of people are evil.
Oh.
And it's... I mean, Barrett doesn't seem to be more evil than a lot of other people who have messed up the world. And that's not saying that Barrett is okay. It's saying that, you know, what stops evil is not finding individual people and deciding that they're bad and getting rid of them. It's working together to create systems that makes it harder for evil people to triumph.
Yes, but I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm not really disagreeing with Zolf either. I believe in Aphrodite and I follow Aphrodite, and the first and most important rule is that love is very important and should come before everything else. But also, I wonder if killing him would stop harm, which is also part of what I should do. But also, he seems very weak and pathetic.
So, I have to say, I don't think that him being weak or pathetic is a reason not to hurt him. I think us not becoming executioners is a reason not to execute him.
Hmm.
I mean, like, I don't know if he really is as weak as he might appear to be right now. It sounds like he was quite powerful in the past.
Yes, and that's the other thing.
And I wouldn't trust his appearance now, although also probably I wouldn't have trusted his appearance when he was powerful. He may have acted like he was a lot more powerful than he actually was. That's always a thing that people do.
But the thing is, you're very good at thinking things through, and
I worry, do you think that Zolf thinks that killing Barrett will make him feel better about his friend that died? Or was trapped? I'm not that sure about the details. Do you think that Zolf thinks that?
Maybe.
Because I think...
But I also think that even without that, I think Zolf looks at Barrett and sees part of what got us here, which is true. Literally, Barrett's actions are part of what brought all this.
But so are Tesla's, and so are some at Neil's.
But they didn't mean it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think a lot of people do very terrible things thinking that they're doing good.
But Barrett never thought he was doing good. He doesn't care.
I don't know if I... Like, arrogance is... And ideas of being pure and good, I think, can do just as much harm as being, ha ha ha, I'm so evil, ha ha ha, fear me. You know, like, it's people that think that they're doing the right thing that can do the most harm. They're driven by righteous zeal, you know, like, not that there's anything wrong with righteousness. Your kind of righteousness is great, because it's tempered by all of this thinking and worrying and wondering what's right. And that's what makes it okay. You know, that you're like, I want to do what's right. But, by thinking about what would do the most good, I like Zolf, and I don't want him to kill Barrett and then stand there afterwards thinking, well, nothing feels better, and then be angry and regretful and
yeah, he doesn't need more of that.
Oh yeah, he is already quite a lot. He has quite a lot of that. Yes. But I don't have a solution. You know, I don't know. I can't see what Barrett is doing, and I can't see the harm he's going to do. I, when it comes to it, will not let Zolf execute Barrett in front of me. And I will try and stop him from doing that. But Mr. Zolf is very powerful, and I know that he could probably take me down in a fight.
I don't think he would fight us. He said he wouldn't. He said he wouldn't be worth it, but...
Yeah. I don't think anything would be fixed by fixing Barrett, right? I think that, you know, you kill him, how many more people are there that are going to try and take control in the power vacuum that we're going to create and what comes after? We just... We'd relax and let someone else, even worse, come along and fix things in the name of doing good, you know? Maybe I'm not making any sense.
No.
I feel like I've got more thoughts in my head since I put the lenses in, and they don't all fit quite.
Some of them aren't int-based thoughts.
Yeah, no,
I don't know how to deal with those thoughts.
I'm trying to play Cell
thoughts.
With wisdom now. Like, Cell is wise. Probably not as wise as Azu, actually. But actually, not zero. Yes. cool.
Not to brag.
Not to brag. But my charisma is plus one, so...
Well done. Welcome to the plus section of the charisma people.
So I think that conversation with Selanazu is more or less run its course at that point.
Yeah, I think for a while, I think Azu is just going to sit there just kind of despondent. Quietly.
It's part of Cell's character that they keep talking, so I do want to also make sure that you have said everything that you want to, and I will pause... Because there would be body language there that, you know, so if there's things that you feel that you want to add.
I mean, I'm happy to, like, stop the roleplay there and just be like, look, Azu is coming to the decision that if Zolf does try to kill Barrett in front of her, then she is probably going to try and stop him. Mm. And I think that the conclusion Azu comes to is that while she thinks that Barrett maybe deserves to die, is not sure that Zolf should be the one to do that or decide that.
Hmm. A jury of his peers.
Yeah, I think that's what she's going to decide.
So, with that in mind then, is anyone else wanting to fill their boots with some delicious roleplay before potentially plot-related discussions happen?
Yeah, I think
this is a rare opportunity I afford people.
I think we should skip to the big group discussions because we still need some of those.
Very well. In which case then... I'd say that Wild is probably the one to do the rounds and start trying to bring people into a room together. No Summit Neil still, but there is a Skrark.
Einstein has not been around, by the way, for chunks of these. To be clear, he is fine. He basically came in and then has been dealing with stuff off scene. He's not been deliberately absent, but no one's had a particular burning desire to speak with him, and he's a busy man, you know? Yeah. He's got lots on. So he won't be present either. It's primarily Wild, yourselves, and Scrock. Unless anyone wants others invited, in which case Wild will happily go fetch him. Although he's struggling to make it through doors with that rough. He's not quite got the width right yet. Like, it's unnecessarily large.
Oh, my.
So, from what I hear, another, 24 hours or so, and we're going to be good to go. So I think we should probably talk a few things over.
Will there be another briefing in exactly what the plan is? If there's a device we have to use...
Oh, do we have a plan?
I think that basically they're expecting to be finished tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we'll be getting our briefing then, but from what I gather, it looks like we're going to be taking one last trip together to... Irony of ironies, Westminster.
Where exactly?
Why is that ironic?
Up Big Ben, where the plant is.
When you're right, Zolf, you're right.
It's at the top of that tower, is it?
Yeah, it did the bongs. You know, remember when we came here?
Oh,
I'm
yes.
not so much sure that it's at the top of the tower as now is the tower, but the point stands.
Oh, it's very tall. Right, okay.
So what that does mean is, obviously, we're going to have our proper briefing, but as far as I'm aware, this is it. Sort of last night in paradise, as it were.
Well, there's still a few things we need to sort out, really. So both Cell and I noticed when we were here previously that there's a small flaw in the design of the device that Nicola has been building. Not that we'll stop it working, but it's about what happens to Babbage afterwards. And we both felt back then that it would be a good idea to ask Babbage himself what he might want to happen.
So why are you here?
Once the plan's completed.
So can you do that thing you did before where, he gives a vague... a gesture that can best be described as vaguely technical.
Can Cell? I assume Cell can. Cell can do most things now.
Yeah, in principle, you've done it once.
Sure.
God knows there's better tech here than there was at that Japanese inn.
Ooh, in which case... yeah, absolutely. And you know what will be better is that we don't even have to put fail-safes on in case he tries to kill us all. Like, that was issue in the designs there,
right,
so...
Sounds like you need to go have a chat to Tesla and Lovelace then and get that set up and done, because we're running out of time.
Well, that's one thing. The other thing is, there's a single obvious point of failure as well, which is Babbage, and it seems pretty clear to me that once we take... If we're delivering Babbage to the top of the tower, then the cult of Hades is going to try and take control of Babbage.
That's get rid of Barrett, innit?
Before or after, Well, not just Barrett, but the Squizzards too. We need to...
Get rid of them too.
I'll be honest, I'm less worried about Barrett than I am about the Squizzards.
Well, same.
We'll just get rid of them all then.
Are they easy to kill? The Squizzards?
Yeah, I can get them.
If I remember correctly, Sasha took one out comparatively easily.
Well, we fought them before, and when it was just one of them, we did okay, but if there's
their
more of them...
Their power is in controlling your mind. If they can't do that, they are comparatively weak.
Well, one of the times we fought against them, they brought a lot of help by controlling people's minds, maybe.
Yeah, well, there's a bigger person in town with that.
That's true.
So I think they're curtailed there, which is one reason to deal with them before we deal with everything else.
Well,
they become more dangerous once we've released the, plant's control.
Maybe we could ask Barrett to get all the Squizzards together for a conference about what comes next and then, kill the Squizzards?
That's not actually a terrible idea. And we could tell them that the conference is happening in a cage full of knives.
So no, the point is we wouldn't tell them that.
We'd hold the conference in the knife cage.
Two issues with this, right? Number one, Squizzards can't come in here, and this is the only safe place. Number two, this is the only safe place. If we have a big fight in the middle of London...
Oh, yeah.
Terrible idea. The other thing is, as well, Barrett said himself, the Squizzards are just... henchmen, right? Whatever is controlling them from another blooming plane, dimension, world, whatever, wherever they've come from, through Hades' domain, I guess, from what they were saying, then we are going to have to deal with that after this. Once we've dealt with the plant, they will make their move. That's it. Right?
When that happens, I guess we deal with that, but...
We need to sever any potential information that they can have. That means dissociating yes. ourselves off and severing and destroying their eyes on the ground right now.
Which means, yeah, removing their ability to act on the situation, which is Barrett and the Squizzards.
Yes.
Mm. Wild puts a finger up and goes, I tell you what, give me a moment. Wild leaves towards the bedrooms.
I mean, do you think he... Sel turns to Azu. Do you think he is going to kill Barrett? Should we?
I don't think that's something Wild would do.
No.
Maybe he wants to bring Barrett here and we can ask him to give us a reason not to kill him.
Yes, great. Talk to the talker about why he shouldn't face consequences.
Wild comes back, sort of brushing his hands off. Locked him in and silence spell. If we don't want him listening to things, the last thing we want is him able to hear things.
Yes, very sensible
good stuff.
Oh, actually, that might have solved the issue.
I mean, he's still listening to that music, so it's not like he was going to hear anything anyway, but, you know, no harm, no foul.
Is Are
he
we sure that he's room? In...
Did you check?
Well, I mean, I didn't...
Yeah.
Wild leaves again.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, maybe there's been loads of squizzards in that room, you know, having their own conference.
Well, this place seems pretty secure.
I mean, in theory, this place is shielded from communication, but I wouldn't trust Barrett not to have found ways around that.
Do you have anything, Azu, that only kills evil things? I always found it very messy. The definitions of what becomes evil and what isn't. Like, I mean,
it's more of a gradient than a.
I see.
Barrett is pretty evil.
Wild comes back, and he is looking very unhappy.
He's not there.
Is he not there?
No.
This is why we should have dealt with him before. This is whatever, fine.
Right, should we go and search his room and try and find wherever he's gone?
I think so. Look, okay, as far as I've been asking around, there is one way in to this place and there is one way out of this place. And currently the only person I know who's able to let people in and out is Augusta. So if we make sure that Augusta's fine, we know that he's here somewhere at least.
Let's find Augusta quickly then.
Okay, right. Off we go. So we...
I can just skip to... Yeah. Augusta's really easy to find... Mm. Augusta is currently basically in the equivalent of the pantry, stocking things up, and is just idly just bored, flicking through stuff whilst putting cans on a shelf type deal, and just looks up to see an entire room of you sort of looking in the doorway and notices Zolf. Closes the book.
Yeah, you can speak. Where is Barrett?
I don't know. I'm not his babysitter. Probably in his room.
He's not in his room.
Well, he's not going to be able to make it into the labs. He doesn't have any of the keys, so...
But still in the building?
I mean, no one's been out. Augusta basically reaches, pats up near the collarbone. Yeah.
Let's split up by twos and search.
What am I missing here?
Because if he can leave without us noticing, he could be up to all kinds of nefarious nonsense.
He's aligned with the cult of Hades, Byron. Use your brain.
Don't call me that.
I'm terribly sorry.
Augusta pushes past and sort of starts stomping around and is clearly just beelining to Barrett's room.
Shall we split up?
So, what is it that people intend to do?
I'm going to go hunting for a Barrett.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we probably should actually, like, go into... Wait, there's... Yeah, there's six of us.
Yeah, pairs, I think.
So we can go in twos.
Yeah.
Full Scooby-Doo! Full Scooby-Doo! Yes!
So will Azu go with Zolf or will Sel? That's the...
I need a first pair. Go. Don't care who.
I start leaving. Who follows me?
If Azu doesn't, then Sel will.
Yep. Excellent. Zolf and Sel, please give me a perception check.
Ooh.
Well, each of you give me a perception check, please.
28.
My new thingamabob, 37.
Nice.
Oh, it was a natural 20 as well. Yeah.
Okay. Where were you intending to look, or were you just casting about randomly?
I had no plan.
Wait, no, I was wrong. 36.
Well. Basically one. How shameful.
Yeah, no, I just starting to ransack the house bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just a general cast about. Cell,
mm-hmm.
you, as you're casting around the place, start to sort of look for fine detail elements. We're talking more like you seem to be approaching it a little bit more forensically rather than I'm going to look for his feet behind a curtain.
Ooh, little pipe. Flat cap. Ooh.
So as you're near Barrett's room, you notice that all of the rooms have a sort of almost like a drought excluder on the interior of the room, where it's like it's a metal plate that runs down to the base of the door, so it, you know, it blocks off that gap between the bases of the door. Apart from Barrett's room, every other one has one. Barrett's is missing, and there is a gap between the door and the floor that is absent from everyone else's. And you see notes of recent passage on the door, in the doorway. So by notes of recent passage, I mean you got a crazy high score, like ludicrously high.
As a natural 20, you know.
You're reaching the level of, like, when I went past here, there wasn't that dust
Sherlock
bunny
Holmes could
pushed
never.
Up against it. Yeah, you know what I mean? We're talking like deformations of the carpet. You're like, I'm pretty certain that's different to how it was when we first arrived, that kind of thing. You think there has been passage past his door, and you note the removal of that sort of excluder as a thing.
So, Zolf, how, like, can the squizzard, like, I just, because I know that squid can fit through any hole that is bigger than their beak, you know, through experiment. So
yeah,
I can
checked
see
it for a skeleton. No, I don't know.
So I wonder if a squizzard could somehow get in and out of that.
Cut to my next pair. Who are they?
Hamid will grab Skrark, probably.
Ooh.
Okay. Where are Hamid and Skrark going?
Down to the labs, maybe, to look to see
Skrark
if he's trying to enter
there. Really wants to go straight to the labs.
Yeah. So the reason for that is that Hamid wants to be able to cast Detect Magic, and he knows that Wild and Zolf can both cast Detect Magic as well. Because that's going to give that might give additional clues. So he wants one of those in each team.
Yeah, sensible. Can you please give me a perception check for Skrark and a perception check for Hamid? Skrark was very keen to go to the labs, just openly stating,
yeah,
I mean, the most important thing is that machine, so we go there.
24 and 22.
Heading down, you run into Einstein on the way. Einstein is in the, you know, the sort of lesser lab.
Yeah.
he's in there working. Ada's working at the main machine, but on the way down, you don't encounter anyone or anything out of the ordinary.
I mean, I'll ask them both as we pass if they've seen Barrett.
So yeah, you ask Einstein, and Einstein's like, oh, hey, yeah, no, he was there when we arrived, you know, and then we came in, and then, you know, he did the teenage boy thing, you know, so...
He's disappeared from his room, and we don't know where he is, and we're worried he might be trying to interfere with things.
Well, I mean, you know, the lab's pretty secure, and there's only one way in or out, and this entire place is dimension locked, which is a real good, like you can't teleport. You can't even teleport within the lab to a different part of the lab. It, like, it's completely locked down.
So the question is, how did he get out of his room without anyone noticing?
I mean, there's still a door, right?
Well, we're still trying to find where he is in the building.
Oh,
doesn't seem to have got out, but the fact that he's missing at all.
Have you checked the toilets?
Well, hopefully someone checks there. We're just going to continue looking around down here.
No, okay, you do. You. Do you need help?
I mean, yes, if you want to.
I will check the toilets! Einstein runs off to check the toilets. For Ada, it's just a no, the only people who've been in here have been me and Tesla. Well, Nicola's actually sleeping now. But
Oh, that's good. I know that you're still in the final stages. Just to check.
Oh, we're done. We're just doing final checks.
Fantastic.
I think we've got it.
That's brilliant.
I really, really do.
In your professional opinion, are Barrett's contributions still important from this point onwards?
Oh, is this about? I'm not hugely comfortable with the killing. There's been so much death already.
We just need to know how well. I don't want to say we haven't made a final decision, but maybe just locking him up more securely.
That might not be a bad idea. I know that Augusta's been deliberately oversupplying. We're fine here for months and months.
Well, yeah, we'll keep looking. We'll just have a look around. We're not going to disturb anything.
Oh, okay. Aid looks quite worried.
Yeah.
Give me another perception check, you pair, and then I'll move on to the next one.
Natural 20 for Hamid.
And for Skrark.
Just a 12 total.
Okay. You are heading around the lab, and yeah, it all seems more or less as it was. And then you notice something that you didn't notice before. Right at the sort of at the back of the lab, there's like a counter and it's all the same. You can't see how to open it. You think there's another door there. This should be a sealed lab. You think that there is a hidden door there, and the only reason that you've noticed it this time is because you are casting about, really looking for stuff.
I cast Knock.
Oh!
Nice!
You get the use out of that spell. There's a counter. There's a counter built into the wall, and effectively, the front of it genuinely has like a stocked cupboard or whatever, but as you hit Knock, the countertop slides into the wall, mechanically speaking. The entire cupboard rotates out, and then the door just, the wall just clicks, and there seems to be a counterweighted door built into the wall. Very flawless design, really well designed, but it sort of clicks aside. Ada comes running over. What did you do? What did you do?
What's
why are you
this?
Putting a hole in the lab?
This was always there. I just opened it. Did you know about this?
What do you mean? The lab's... Close it! The lab's going to be sealed. This is delicate equipment.
I need to get everyone here. We need to
work
out
what's... I'm going to cut to the other pair.
Down there.
Who is my other pair?
It's Azu and Wild.
Where does Azu want to head?
Azu wants to double-check, like, where possible, like, the actual doors to see if there's been, like, anyone fiddling with the mechanisms.
Do you mean the main entrance?
Yeah, the main entrance.
Okay. So, heading through up with Wild to the main entrance, everything, broadly speaking, looks fine. Mm. Neither of you are technical experts, but give me a perception check.
Yep. Oh! This is the best I've rolled all day. That's 28.
Ooh.
I know, maybe I noticed something.
Wild gets a natural one, so I'm glad you're doing it. Wild rapidly comes to realise it's very difficult to examine anything below your chin when you're wearing ruff as wide as your shoulders. Lots of, this was a terrible idea. I can't see anything. Oh, no.
I told him it was ridiculous.
You note that it seems locked up tight.
Mm.
There doesn't seem to be any signs of recent passage. There doesn't seem to be anything particularly unusual. Apart from, there seems to be a slight sticky residue on the base of the interior door.
It's
transparent. You don't know what it is.
Mm.
It's like someone spat at it.
I don't know. I think
Topaz has been here.
I always thought Barrett was a slime ball, but this is ridiculous.
Hey.
Azu points it out, and then it's just like, I'm not good at substances. what do you think that might be?
Wild struggles to look past his rough in order to see it. Eventually manages. I don't know, but I'm starting to get enough of a feeling that something's wrong that I think we should all reconvene.
Yes, I think he's gone.
We should go fetch the others.
Yes.
Wild starts leading the way hurriedly to the bedrooms.
Okay.
He immediately runs over and sort of knocks on Summit Niall's door. You hear the...
What? What is it?
You're fine. Has anything weird happened?
No, why do people keep... Please, just stop for a moment. Please.
Okay, no. Wild then heads across to basically check all the other rooms and finds that Tesla's room is locked. And then turns to Azu and just sort of gives her, I think you might want to open this door for me.
Well, Azu doesn't understand at first and is like, I don't do lock picking.
Wild takes a deep breath in, takes a deep breath out, and then gives the most cursory sort of shin level kick at the door, like a and then gestures with both hands.
Oh, right, yes. Azu throws herself at the door.
Everyone knows the best lock picking tool of all is a giant axe.
The door is just deleted from existence. It's just been removed from the asset list. Give me a perception check.
Okay. Please roll as well as you did last time. I did! 28 again.
Oh. Cool. Tesla is face down, dead on his bed.
Did you say dead?
Oh, yes. And I'll end the episode there.
CaptainHolt.gif. Captain Holt.gif.
Okay. So now Azu is going to be completely on the side of killing Barrett.
Yeah. Like,
my God.
No discussions, no teamwork. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
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 Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. I'll speak for Ada, and it's basically the same. You know what? I'll give you Einstein. It's been a while. No, you know, we came in and then, whoa, I'm Christopher Walken. It happened. Yeah, it finally happened.
Yeah, yay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun! And see you later.